Chapter 18. We moved ourselves down to the revival chambers. After waiting around for a few minutes, we saw the bio specialist in charge leave the room. She gave us an up-down look, but didn't say anything, as we both outranked her. When she hurried away down the passage, we quickly ducked inside. Editing a revival cue isn't all that hard to do, especially not when the acting CO has given you the go-ahead. I hacked my way past the login screen easily enough. Our first snag came when the system required me to enter a comment in a memo box justifying the change. Winslade and I looked at one another in concern. "This input field is a new one," I said.
"Indeed. Someone has altered the data entry screens to add this requirement."
"Do you think it was the bio people, or maybe a new firmware release from Central?" Winslade shrugged.
"It hardly matters. The pertinent detail is that the system is logging our changes, including who made them, when, and why. What's your answer, McGill?"
"Me?" I asked, aghast.
"I'm supposed to put in the answer?"
"You're making the alterations. I'm a bystander. Technically, I'm not even here."
So saying, he stepped away and looked into the distance. Maybe he thought his face might get into a vid recording somehow. My lips twisted up into an expression of disgust. Winslade was as quick and slippery as a snake in a grease fire, and he was just about as ornery, too. Cracking my knuckles, I typed in a spray of text and hit enter. Winslade turned around on his heel and came back to stand at my side.
"What did you enter?"
he asked. "Nothing special, just some vague double talk. I've heard it all my life, and it comes out naturally when convenient." Winslade snorted.
"Indeed. Well, enough then."
"Who shall we revive first?" I asked.
"Claver," Winslade said. "As you suggested earlier, push him to the top of the queue."
I did so and locked it in. "And what's next?"
"Take these names off the list,"
Winslade said, sliding a computer scroll in front of me. The list contained the names of everyone in the Legion who outranked him, either by virtue of position or seniority. In particular, he'd taken pains to remove senior brass from the list entirely, putting them on hold.
"Are you sure about this, sir?"
"Just do it, McGill."
I didn't like it, but I did it. I adjusted the cue and saved it. A few short minutes later, a tapping sound began at the chamber door. Anne's face appeared in the foggy porthole. Maybe she'd been alerted somehow. Then I saw that the bio we'd chased off earlier was with her. Doubtlessly, the woman had gone to get Anne. Anne was frowning at us like we were two urchins in her kitchen, sneaking cookie dough. I knew the look well. Two non-bio people were fooling with her most holy of holy machines. That wouldn't do at all for any self-respecting bio.
"They're getting restless," I said.
"Too bad. Do you have any other suggested edits while we're at it? Who should come out after Claver? It can't be the brass, not yet. We have to have time to interrogate Claver thoroughly before anyone can take command and remove me from my position."
After thinking about it for a moment or two, I came up with an idea. "How about prioritizing combat troops?" I asked. "We'll load up everyone who's died in this cohort first. That way, we'll have hours to talk to him while the rest of the cohort people are spit out."
"Excellent. There are operational precedents for that sort of thing. When under fire from local resistance, unit cohesion comes first. Frontline troops are often revived before top-level brass. We'll claim the situation was an emergency, and that the reordering of the revival process was necessary."
"As good a dodge as any."
"Do it. Make the rest of the edits and reactivate the machine."
But sir, if I do that, it will abort the current grow. Can't we just let this one finish and then bring Claver out next?" Even as I said these words, Anne's fist began hammering on the door. Her face was in the porthole again, one eye roving angrily.
"As you can see," Winslade said, "we already have our first objector. I want this over with. We must be ruthless and quick. Perform all your questionable deeds at midnight, McGill. Do them all at once, as fast as you can. Those are words to live by."
"If you say so, sir,"
I said. Gritting my teeth, I typed in the changes and engaged the confirmation code. The machine began to burble and made sloshing sounds. The noises reminded me of a dishwasher switching into the rinse cycle. I hated to hear that sound. After less than a minute, the maw yawned open and disgorged a half-baked person. The living corpse was gray and malformed. I'd expected it might be small like a baby, but it wasn't. The machine apparently grew people differently than a normal gestation of an infant. It formed the cellular structure of an adult and kept refining the shape until it got it right. The thing looked like a slug with fat, curled-up arms and legs. The gray skin was covered in slime.
"That's got to be the foulest thing," Winslade said.
Anne must have caught sight of our latest action, and she didn't approve. She burst into the chamber, puffing with anger.
"What is the meaning of this act?" she demanded. "Who's responsible for aborting this grow?"
"Remain calm, specialist," Winslade said. "You do it all the time when something goes wrong."
"But this was a perfectly good grow. You killed it."
Truer words were never spoken. Partially formed lungs heaved and sighed. They rattled their last, and the proto-person shivered in death.
"Recycle this mess," Winslade ordered. "Do not alter the queue as it now stands. Alert me when the next grow is complete."
He left then, with an imperious air. I had to admit he knew how to give orders like a pro. "I'm sorry, Anne," I said when he left.
"This has got to be your idea," she said.
"Not at all. Check the memo in the work order." She did, and she frowned.
"Authorized by Primus Leonard Winslade, acting commander. Alteration request approved. Reasons classified. What the hell is this?"
"That's what he had me type in," I said. "He was in charge. I just knew how to do what he wanted. Maybe he thought a real bio would give him grief."
"He was right about that. You wait until I make my full report. Winslade will wish he'd never been revived this time around. Turov will tear him apart."
Inwardly, I grinned. My ad-lib memo field was already coming in handy. I was fairly certain it would reap even bigger rewards later on. "Aren't you interested to know why he really did it?" I asked.
"Yes, I suppose. Tell me."
I pointed to the queue. "Did you happen to notice the next name on that list? The next grow, who even now is gestating inside the guts of the machine?" Anne looked, and she gasped.
"Claver! Tell me this is some kind of mistake!"
Shrugging and shaking my head, I endeavored to look innocent. "I'm following orders," I said. "I didn't even know he was aboard Minotaur."
"Don't be a... Never mind. Yes, James, he was on the manifest. We've had this data since we left Earth. He died on the freighter when it crashed into Earth. At least, that's when his death became officially recognized. We've had the authorization to revive him since that time."
"Why didn't Turov do it?"
"I don't know. It does seem odd. The machine sat idle for nearly a month. Why let him linger in death for so long? And why is Winslade bringing him back now, when we need this single machine to revive an entire legion?"
"Different commanders, different priorities." Anne narrowed her eyes.
"You know more than you're letting on, right? Never mind. Don't tell me. I don't want to get into politics. The only thing slimier than the guts of this machine is the twisted double dealings of people like Winslade and Turov. I want no part of it."
I nodded and shut up. It was easy to keep quiet. After all, I barely knew what was going on myself. But I intended to find out.